I want to consider with you this morning the thought of going forward with God. And I suppose not really so much individually, because that's something as Christians we should all be striving to do, individually making spiritual progression. But really, spiritual progression in a collective sense. As a company of God's people, as a little band of God's redeemed people here in Lisburn Baptist, a fellowship, collectively, moving forward. Every man, every woman, every child, finding something to do for the Lord, putting their hand to the wheel, and seeing God's work progressing. We read in this chapter, Numbers chapter 13 this morning, because we've read about a man, his name was Caleb. And really, there was not only Caleb in this chapter, but really, we find out there was another man called Joshua. And here in this chapter, this man, Caleb, he had a burning desire in his heart to go forward for God. He wanted to take the ground that God had already given to him. As a matter of fact, he said, "Let us go at once. We're well able." But there was a problem. There was 10 other boys beside him, and they didn't want to go anywhere. They wanted to stay put. 2 men that wanted to go forward with God, 10 men who wanted to stay back and do nothing. And you see, these 10 men, they were happy with death. And they were happy with despondency. And you know what? They were happy with disobedience. Happy with disobedience. But Caleb and Joshua were determined to go through with God. If you look what it says there in verse number 24 of Numbers 14, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." The Lord goes on to say in verse 30, "Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you to dwell in, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun." You see, here is 2 men that stood out for God. No matter what the majority said, no matter what all the other ones said out of the tribes of Israel, you know, Caleb and Joshua had their trust in God. They were ready to take action. The scripture said they had another spirit. And my first challenge this morning would be is this: what type of spirit have you got? What type of spirit is there here in this little fellowship? Is there the desire and the determination and the devotion to go on with God? Or is it the spirit of, couldn't be bothered? We'll let the Lord do all the work. Don't get me wrong, I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in a God who is all-powerful, omnipotent, who knows all things. Our brother was praying about that this morning. But are we wanting to get out? Wanting to take spiritual ground for Christ? Wanting to see souls coming to the knowledge of a Savior, just like us? And I would say, if I was to go through the congregation this morning, and I was to ask each and every one of you how you individually came to Christ, there's a good chance there'll be a key person who told you about the Savior. One person who loved your soul so much to tell you about the Savior. One person who would not let you go, who would not stop hounding you until you came to Christ. There could be a good chance of that. And so here was 2 men. They had a spirit to go out for Christ and to go out for God. Now maybe what I should do is just give you a quick outline of the book of Numbers, because there's some wonderful truth in the book of Numbers. You see, the book of Numbers really is, it's the well-documented account of the children of Israel's journey from Egypt, Ramses, right through until their feet stand just beneath Mount Nebo. You'll read about it in Deuteronomy 34. It's also what's been called as the book of pilgrimage. Because here we have a group of people, they have been redeemed out of Egyptian bondage, Egyptian slavery, and they're now traveling through a waste, howling wilderness of sin. And it's kind of like the believer. We're pilgrims. Peter tells us we're pilgrims and we're strangers going home. This is not our home. So they're traveling through. You see, the book of Numbers is the forward book of the Bible. If you were to get a Strong's Concordance and you were to write down or you were to type in forward, you'll find that that word forward comes up around 50 times in the scriptures. And 17 times of those references to the word forward, you'll read of them in the book of Numbers. 40%. 40% of all the references to going forward with God and the word forward found in this book. And so I believe this morning, practically, not only as individuals, but as collectively, if we want good, practical, illustrational truth on how to go forward for God, we'll get it in this book. Now, if you get this next bit, you'll have cracked some Bible chronology. Sometimes we read through the scriptures and it's all, we find it very hard to put everything in its place. Well, the book of Numbers will help sort that out. There's the children of Israel on their route from Egypt to the promised land. They made over 50 stops, but we can't speak of all the 50 stops they made. But let me give you three, and it'll divide up the book of Numbers for you. And the next time you read the book of Numbers, you'll see some wonderful truth. I remember a boy said to me years ago, he says, there's no point reading the book of Numbers, he says, because all it is just God's documentation of all the children that came out of Egypt. It's just numbers. How wrong was he? Some stuff in this book. Chapter 1 to chapter 10 is the passage of the children of Israel traveling from Ramses, Egypt to Mount Sinai. And it spans a period of 44 days. 44 days. Then from chapter 10, verse 11, to chapter 19 and verse 22, is the children of Israel going from Mount Sinai to a place called Kadesh. And it spans a time period of 38 years. 38 years. And then from chapter 20 to chapter 36 is the account of the children of Israel going from Kadesh right to Mount Nebo, entering into the promised land, just as they stand at the east bank before the Jordan, and it's a time period of 98 weeks. And if you add all that up all in your mind, you'll get 40 years. 40 years. You see, from chapter 13 we've read this morning, the majority of the people refused to move, and they were within striking distance of where God wanted them to be. And they rebelled. And so God said to the children of Israel, all right, I've heard your murmuring enough. I've heard you complaining. He says, how many days did them 12 spies spend spying out the land? 40. God says, right. For every day they were in the Canaan land, spying out the land, well, I will change it to a year. A year. And he says, within 40 years, that disobedient, complaining, murmuring, grumbling generation will have died. If I was to take you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll not do it for the sake of time. I'm always tight for time, so if I go over, you'll forgive me. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, and with many of them, God was not well pleased, for he overthrew them in the wilderness. And if you were to get out your Greek lexicon and just look at that word overthrew, it means strewn. It simply means if you were to get a bird's eye view of the camp of Israel at that time, as they traveled through the wilderness, you would see dead bodies strewn all over the wilderness. It doesn't just mean that they died of natural causes. It means God judicially took control, and he saw to it that every one of those disobedient men, they died. You know, God kept his word exactly. Because it took them 40 years to travel from Egypt right through to the promised land. 40 years exactly. A total of 14,600 days. A total hours of 350,600 hours to travel through. And you know what the sad thing about it is this. It should have only took them 11 days. 11 days. 265 hours. What took 40 years should have only took 11 days. And this is where the Lord speaks to me. He says, you see those wandering children of Israel? Just wandering. Are you wandering this morning, brother or sister? Have you a purpose in your life? You see, the Lord said to me this. He says, Johnny, he says, you should be further forward than what you are. I got saved in 2005, and to tell you the truth, for 5, 6, 7 years, I fiddled about. I really did. And so often in the place of prayer, I cry out and say, Lord, restore unto me the ears, the locust of Eden. We should be farther forward. And God says, wandering about 40 years in the wilderness should have only taken you 11 days. 11 days. You see, the first 10 chapters, a promised advance. God had given to them all that they had needed to go forward. If I was to take you to Exodus chapter 19, it's where Moses leads the great congregation. Exodus 19, Mount Sinai. And they camped there for 11 months and 5 days. And in that period of time, God gives to them the 10 commandments. He says, I'll teach you how to go forward with morality. He gives to them the tabernacle. He says, when you go forward, I'll be in the midst. Your presence will be with me. He gives them the Levitical offerings. Last year when I was here, we spoke about the burnt offering. He says, I'll let you come into my presence. And he gave them all that they needed to go forward. And if the children of Israel had kept God's blueprint, God's plan, they would have never missed a step till their feet went over the Jordan River and they possessed the land for God. A promised advance. But you see, the next 10 chapters is not a promised advance, but it's a postponed aim. Postponed aim. They got their eyes off the Lord. When you get through all the numerical countings, you'll get the grumbling and the complaining. Oh, Lord, there's no bread. But yet he gave them manna from heaven. Oh, Lord, there's no water, but yet Moses struck the rock and it came forth abundantly. All they did was complain. You see, they enjoyed the grapes. I'm sure they enjoyed the grapes. They said they were massive. Not like any of the grapes you'd get down in Greens. And they enjoyed the milk. Oh, it's not like the milk you get today, that pasteurized stuff. It was probably straight from the cow. And they enjoyed the honey. But you know, the problem was this. They didn't want to fight for it. If someone had just brought it up in a great big trailer load and bucked it down before them, they would have loved it. But they didn't want to fight for it. Didn't want to fight for it. You see, it was a postponed aim. And let me tell you this, if we were still waiting on them 10 boys to decide whether they were going to go forward or whether they were going to go back or whether they were going to stay there, do you know, there would be no nation in the land tonight, this morning. And there would have been no kingdom. And there would have been no king. And there would have been no temple. And let me tell you something else. There would have been no Christ. No Christ. And forever the echo of the Egyptians would have went down through the ages. He was able to redeem them from Egypt. But he could take them no further. That's why they perished in the wilderness. And dear brothers and sisters, this morning it behoves us as children of God to be pressing forward for Christ, taking ground every day. Does Lisburn know you're here? Oh, you're saved and you're going on with Christ to a certain extent. You're at the meetings every Sunday morning. But the people that are lost know you're here. Do they know Christ lives? Do they know they need to be saved? You see, many Christians today, and not only individually, but collectively, our fellowships have ground to a spiritual halt. We've stopped. We've become stagnant. The deeper life is postponed while something else more important takes its place. You know, I hear the voice of the Lord saying this morning, go forward. And someone might say, well, what about the education? I'm not against education. But Lord, can those things not just wait for a wee while? Can going on with Christ not just wait for a wee while? Can I not postpone it for a few years just to get the education? And then I hear the voice of the Lord saying, go forward.
Someone else says, but Lord, what about the business? Sure, the business is nearly down the drain. If I just spend a few more hours in the study and I just get this figure sorted out and we'll be on the road. And then I hear someone else, the Lord says, go forward, and someone else says, well, what about my friends? Sure, if friends are that I go to school with or college or whatever, and they're doing the things that I want to do, going out and doing different bits and pieces that I know I shouldn't be at. Can I not just postpone this Christian business just for a lot of years till I get a few things out of my system? No. And there's a multitude of things. I'm too busy. I've got commitments. My house needs clean. My hair needs cut. The cat's died. The car's broke. And sure, you could go on forever. And before we know it, years and years have passed. And all the spiritual blessings that Christ has for us in the heavenly places, sure, they're just a distant memory. Going forward with God. And so God says, fine, if you make excuses, that's all right. But until then, you're going nowhere. It's obedience. First 10 chapters of promised advance. Listen, if you keep my word, you listen to my voice, you'll go forward. Next 10 chapters of postponed aim. Sure, we'll just leave it for a while. The last 16 chapters of permitted access. Finally, the children of Israel got right with God. That generation had died. And by the grace of God, Joshua and Caleb took them over Jordan. And they possess the land. It's a wonderful passage. I love that clock. I have plenty of time left. Let me just share with you four things that relate to Israel, but apply to the church dispensation today. Just with the thought of going forward. Number one. What was true of the children of Israel is true of us. Number one, this. They obtained their liberation. Obtained their liberation. Now you just watch out for the fancy heads because I'm mustered for fancy heads. They obtained their liberation. You see, let us remind the children of Israel and let us remind ourselves this morning that it was God who set them free. God set them free. They were down there in Egypt slaving at the brick kilns, making bricks with clay and straw. Then there came the day when Moses went in and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh, just to be obnoxious, he took away the straw. Still wanted the same tale of bricks, though. And they were down there slaving for 430 years under the bondage and the crack of the Egyptian whip. And then there came a day in God's mighty plan of providence that he raised up a man called Moses and he brought them out. And by the blood of a lamb, sprinkled upon the doorpost and the lintel of the house, he redeemed them. Do you know what redemption means? It means to be brought out, bought back, set free. And here was a band of people who had been brought out, they had been bought back, and they had been set free, liberated. And you see, there'd be no point talking about going forward for God if they were still in the chains. And so you can see what I'm getting. The believer in Christ has been liberated from the powers of darkness. The shackles have fallen off. The Lord Jesus Christ said, whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And you could write over this little head the words of the Apostle Paul. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And so the first thing that these children realized was this. We're liberated. And because they were liberated, they could make ground for God and they could move forward. The next thing I think about the children of Israel is not only that they obtained their liberation, but they ordered their progression. Ordered their progression. You see, God said, you'll move forward as one force. Move forward as one force. He said, there'll be no stragglers. He said there'll be no lieabouts. He said there'll be no one just trailing about at the back. He said you'll get in line. One unit. And when you look at the formation of the children of Israel, and sadly we don't hear too much teaching about it, but if you look at the formation of the children of Israel as they move through the wilderness, there's some wonderful truth in it. And as you're getting this morning, some practical truth from it. There was nothing random. A boy just couldn't come along and stick his tent down there and drive the pegs in and say it'll do rightly. There was a special place for it. And God gave them the orders. Nothing unruly. Nothing unorganized. Do you know, would you remember the passage of scripture there when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they crossed over the Red Sea? They were all dancing and singing. They sung a song. And if you saw them all skipping and running out with a bag over the shoulder, it was just an unruly, unorganized mob of people that had just been set free. I'm sure they were excited. You couldn't blame them. But you see, God says now there's going to be order. He says, I'm going to take that unruly mob of people, Moses, and I'm going to make them into a regimental fighting unit for God. There's going to be no shirt tails hanging out. And there's going to be no things that would mar the testimony of Christ or God. He says, they're going to get in line. They're going to get in line. And you see, I fear today that in many places there's no such thing as discipline. I fear today that one of the greatest things that's going to be the demise of the assemblies across Northern Ireland will be the lack of order, the lack of purpose, the lack of drive, the lack of vision to go forward for Christ. So many people say today, well, sure, if it feels good, do it. And sure, if you want to dress like that, sure, go on ahead. It's comfortable. It's your own decision. You know, God says there'll be order. There'll be order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, God's not the author of confusion. And I was looking through a few of the translations, the Amplified version and the J.B. Phillips and the Moffat. And basically what it was this. God is not the author of disorder, but of peace and order. And you'll remember that the very first law in heaven was the order of order. God set everything in its right place. Sun, the moon, the stars. It's all order. And today the sun still rises up in the morning. It's been doing it for 4,000 years. And today the grass still grows like it always grew. It's growing the way it grew in Eden. God's a God of order. And so we can see the order there. Progression. Let me just do it in two simple ways. Their progression in their passage and their progression in their pitch. What was it like when the children of Israel moved out, marched on? When the cloud uplifted from the ark, started to move forward, what did they do? Or at night time when God came in the fire, lifted up off the tabernacle and moved forward, what did they do? No, the Lord didn't just take them out in the daytime. Sometimes he took them out at night. Took them out at night. You see, first of all, their passage, they marched with military accuracy. They were all going one direction. They all followed the orders of God's word. They were all in line. There was no one out of step. Are you out of step this morning? Be in step. I'm thinking about with the word of God. Are you spiritually in step with what the Lord has to say to us through his word? Is your ear open to his cry? Our brother read from Revelation this morning, chapter 1, and at the end of every one of those accounts when God speaks to the churches, Ephesus and Pergamos and Thyatira, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Are you spiritually in step with the scriptures? If I was to tell you about something from the word of God, could you say to me, brother, the reason why I do this is because of, and point me to the verse. Spiritually in step. And you see, the children of Israel had heard the voice of God and they obeyed the voice of God. They were in step with God. You see, when they marched, this was the order. Three tribes go out first. Then three tribes go out second, and then my tabernacle will be in the middle. Then another three tribes will go out, and after that, another three tribes. And that's the order that you will do. Listen, I don't want to hear anything. Don't give me your tuppence worth. Don't give me what you think would be right. I've said it. You do it. It's like God's word. And I speak to so many people today, and I tell them certain things from the Word of God, and do you know what? It wouldn't even matter if you took them to chapter and verse, and you read it out to them a million times. Still wouldn't do it. But when God spoke, it stood fast. When they marched, that was the order. But what about their pitch? You see, there was order there too. The tabernacle, when it was to be put up, as I've said, not only had to be in the middle when they marched, but it had to be in the middle when they camped. God didn't say, just you put your tents down there, and then if you can get the tabernacle in somewhere, just fit it in. No, he said, it goes down first. And he says, when the tabernacle goes down first, he says, you take your bearings from the tabernacle, you pitch around it. You pitch around it. And let me remind us, brethren and sisters, this morning, that our lives and all that we do should be taking its bearings from the house of God and from His Word. Oh, you say, sure, if I get a wee minute there in the afternoon, open up the Scriptures and I read a few verses. It'll not do. Not do. Or you say there, I've had a busy day and I'll pray for 2 minutes here and close my eyes and sure, all will be well. All will be well. No, the Lord says, I'm first. That's what it means to go forward. I'm first. There's a lovely little phrase by John Newton, and it says this. I read it in my devotions one morning, and it challenged me. It says, the food by which our souls are fed, each day is sought afresh. For notions resting in the head will only feed the flesh. And I assume really what he's trying to say is this. Don't be waking up in the morning and saying, well, I'll put the reading off to the afternoon because I'm going all right. It's only an old notion. But the wee phrase says, search the Scriptures daily. Get the fresh food from heaven that will feed your soul. And you'll go forward for God. Not only had the tabernacle to be in the middle, but all the tent doors had to face God's sanctuary. He says, the last thing before you go to bed, you'll see the tabernacle. He says, the first thing you'll see in the morning when you wake up, you'll see the tabernacle. And then he says, you've not only have a tabernacle in the middle, and you've not only to pitch with your tent doors before my sanctuary, but he says, you're to pitch close, but not too close. The Scriptures don't give us a distance of how close the tents were to pitch around the tent, the outer court. But all I know is this, if a man was even to touch that beautiful white linen that goes right round of it that speaks of the righteousness of Christ, he was struck dead. Struck dead. And they all had their own place. Let me just go through this. On the east side, Issachar, Judah, Zebulun, 3 tribes. On the south side, Reuben, Simeon, Gad. On the west side, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin. On the north side, Dan, Asher, Naphtali. See, he's a God of order. There wasn't 4 tribes over here and 2 tribes over there and 7 tribes down. No, it's beautiful order, perfect symmetry. And then around the inside of the tabernacle, close to the outer court, was where the Levites and the family of Moses would be. On the east side, the family of Moses. On the south side, the tabernacle, the families of the Kohathites. On the west side, the families of the Gershonites. On the north side, the families of Merari. And you'll find if you go through it, I don't have time, I've somewhere in my Bible in the book of Numbers, of all the different implements that the Merarites and the Gershonites and the other boys had to keep. All the things that they had to have. You see, it tells us that the Gershonites, they looked after the fabrics, the hangings and the great veil and all those bits and pieces. And then it says the Kohathites, well, they looked after the furniture, the ark and the table of showbread and the candlestick. And then the Merarites, well, they carried the frame, the pillars, the sockets, the fillets. And they were all needed, every one of them. And why do I say this morning? It's because of this. Everyone had something to do. Everyone had something to do. They all had their own place. Do you know your place this morning? You mightn't want to hear it, but do you know your place? Do you know the order and the place that God has for you in his house? This isn't just a riot or a ramble or a mob of people coming in on the Lord's Day morning and going in and going out and doing whatever they want. No, God says there's order in the scriptures. And I don't have time to go through it all this morning. But sisters, do you know why you're not allowed up in the pulpit to preach from God's word? Do you know why when we gather around the Lord on the Lord's Day morning that you can't minister? Are you content with it? Do you know why 1 Corinthians says when you do wait behind or remember the Lord, the ladies have to have their heads covered? You mightn't want to hear it, but that's what the Word of God says. Gentlemen, do you know that you have a priestly gift? It's so good to hear the brothers on the Wednesday night taking the meeting. It does my heart good. Each brother getting in behind the assembly and he's willing to go forward for Christ and he wants to take ground. Sure, there's our brother Tommy. He's out every Lord's Day evening preaching the gospel. He's got a Caleb mentality. Wants to go forward. And our brother Wesley too. You see, they all had their place. They all had their pitch. And you see, God not only calculated their place, but let me tell you this, he enumerated their person. He says, when you're going out, he says, yous will be first. And he says, when that next three tribe comes out, he says, yous will be second. And when that next three tribe goes out, yous will be fourth. And yous will be fourth, third, and fourth. But sure you say to me today, we're all equal. Aye, we are. We're all equal in standing, but not all equal in service. And the Apostle Paul said when he was writing that unruly fellowship there in Corinth, he said these words. He says, God has set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and right down through the whole list to governments and helps. God has an order in his house. He has an order in his house. The final thing I want us to see is this. They overcame their stagnation. Not only obtained their liberation, not only ordered their progression, but they overcame their stagnation. Just turn, please, quickly to Numbers 21 and verse 10. Numbers 21 and verse 10. You see, it was now coming true. God didn't just say, I'm going to take you into the promised land and I'm going to take you a little tour of all the beautiful spots in Canaan. No, he said, it's going to be a battle. He said, there's going to be casualties. Now he says, get in line. He says, no one out of step. He says, we're going forward now. We're going to take ground. We're going to possess it. And you know, today, brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ, he needs battlers, not babes. And he needs soldiers, not sissies. He needs people who can pray. People who can take ground. People who are not afraid to get in behind the enemy lines. See the devil's goods spoiled. And if I could just close with this little phrase or this little verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Am I, when the children of Israel get into the promised land, the first thing they were faced with was that great wall? Do you know, it's a pity they didn't have 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Brethren and sisters, this morning, let's take some practical truth from the book of Numbers. We want to go forward. We don't want to go back. Egypt's back there. We've been redeemed. But let us, by the grace of God, not only as a fellowship, but individually and as a band of God's people, go forward to see his work progress for his name's sake.